Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. You know, last week on Telling Future Generations, we looked at the child in the Old Testament and three of the main passages that the Reverend Jesse Overholtzer also loved that talk specifically about the importance of reaching and teaching children at an early age from Deuteronomy chapter 6, Judges 2, and Psalm 78. But of all the passages in the whole Bible that talk about children, there is one main passage of Scripture that stopped the Reverend Jesse Overholtzer in his tracks with its clarity and conveying the absolute importance of reaching children for Christ, spoken by the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 18. In the years to come, it would be Matthew 18 that would become Mr. Overholtzer's most beloved passage of Scripture to teach and preach from wherever he went and talked about his favorite subject of children and their need for Christ. You know, we need to keep in mind that the background and the context of Matthew 18 is that of the disciples having another discussion yet again among themselves of who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This time, instead of answering the disciples directly, the scriptures say that Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Imagine a child sitting in the midst with all the disciples standing around wondering what Jesus was doing, and then the Lord Jesus begins to speak about children directly, using the child as an object lesson in front of his bickering and off-base disciples who obviously didn't understand what the kingdom of God was all about. Jesus then spoke in verse 3, saying, "Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Let those words sink into your ears, what Jesus is saying here. The disciples were arguing about among them was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, but Jesus said, unless you be converted and become as little children, you will never even enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's as if our Savior turns the tables here on the disciples. The disciples, they weren't questioning if they were going to enter into heaven. They considered that a done deal. But what they were wondering and questioning among themselves is who was going to be the greatest in heaven. Jesus, by this simple statement, is making to his disciples and even to us today to stop and think again what the requirements are for entering into heaven and to make sure that we're even going to make it there. You know, they say that oftentimes we as adults, we somehow think that the door to entering into heaven is at least 6 feet tall and under, but in actuality, it is 4 foot tall and less. I love what Charles Spurgeon says here about this passage in his classic work on children's ministry called Come, Ye Children. Spurgeon says, "How the blessed Savior thinks differently. Say not the child may not come till he is like a man, but know that you cannot come until you are like the child. The difficulty is not with the child becoming like a man, but know that you cannot come till you are like him. It is no difficulty in the child's way that he is not like you. The difficulty is with you that you are not like the child. Instead of the child needing to grow up, it is the man who must grow down and become like a child." But what is it that Jesus is saying here about children that children seem to more naturally have and adults seem to greatly lack? Jesus answers this in the very next verse. Jesus says in verse 4, "Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is saying that humbleness before holy God is the key and the requirement for entering into heaven, and also at the same time, humbleness is the measuring stick for being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You see, pride and faith can never go together, but humbleness and faith in God and in Christ alone for our salvation always do. I personally believe that the number one reason why adults don't more easily turn to Christ is because they are full of pride and they refuse to humble themselves before holy God. They refuse to admit their completely sinful condition, their utter inability to save themselves. Whereas children, more readily, they do see their need for the Savior. They'll humble themselves and place their faith in Christ alone. If only, though, more people would go and share with them a clear presentation of the gospel. George Barner of BarnerResearch.com has statistically analyzed for decades when born-again evangelical believers here in North America make the spiritual decision to trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you know what he found out? That 85% of all believers in Christ here in this country, they say that they made the spiritual decision to trust in Christ, now listen, before their 15th birthday. But that window for coming to Christ is actually even smaller. Barna analyzed that by far the majority of the 85% who trusted in Christ, they did so between the ages of 4 to 12 years of age, the age of childhood. If Jesus would have stopped here in verse 4, his message to his disciples would have already been deeply profound and life-shattering. But Jesus didn't stop here. Jesus went on in verse 5 to remind his disciples about welcoming and receiving children, saying, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." This is an amazing thought, that when we welcome and receive a child in Jesus' name, we are actually welcoming Jesus. This takes ministry to children to a whole new level. But not only is ministry to children a great privilege, but it's also a great responsibility. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 6. Jesus says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Did you catch what Jesus said here? Let me read it again. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me." Question, who said that little ones can believe in Jesus? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. But what does it mean to believe, though? The same word for believe is the same word for believe in John 3:16 and Acts 16:31. It's a belief unto salvation. Take, for example, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever," what? "Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Some have argued that the term little one here doesn't necessarily mean a child. Actually, the term little ones means one who is little either physically, cognitively, emotionally, and or spiritually. So there's no reason why little ones can't also refer to a child, because a little child actually meets all of these qualifications of what a little one is. But again, we need to remember the context, because context is king. At the beginning of this whole discussion in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus called a real, literal child to come and set down in the midst of the disciples. And this is the background of all these verses found here in the beginning of Matthew chapter 18. The next few verses, 6 through 9, they are difficult because they give a very strong warning to those who would offend or cause one of these little ones to stumble. Have you ever wondered how the Lord Jesus feels about and views those who would offend one of these little ones, misuse them, abuse them, or cause them to stumble, or being spiritually offended in their faith? Jesus says that if anyone offends one of these little ones who believe in him, it were better that a millstone be hung about his neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. These verses then go on to speak in more detail how our hands, our eyes, our feet, and our very way of life can offend not only ourselves, but also others around us, especially these little ones, and how we would be better off to deal harshly and even severely with those areas of sin in our life that may cause us and others around us great harm. But then the Lord Jesus comes back to the subject again of little ones in verse 10. Jesus said, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." To despise means to look down and value less. But whatever else you want to say about the rest of this verse, that these little ones, they must be pretty important to God, because God gives his angels of these little ones direct access to him, always beholding his face. The point here, though, is not about angels in heaven, but it is about how much our Lord Jesus loves and values these precious little ones that oftentimes our world and even ourselves and those around us, they look down upon and they tread upon. You know, there's a story about the late great evangelist D.L. Moody and how he would often leave his office at the Moody Bible Institute to go out into the streets of Chicago to do soul winning. On one afternoon, he came back into his office and his secretary, who was a man, inquired of him and he asked him, "Mr. Moody, you know, how did it go?" And Mr. Moody said, "Oh, quite well. We had 2.5 conversions for Christ today." The secretary looked inquisitively at Mr. Moody and he just couldn't quite figure out what the half comment meant. And he said, oh, I see. You mean that you had 2 adults and 1 child." Mr. Moody said, "No, it was quite the opposite. The 2 children who came to Christ today now have their whole lives to live for the Lord, while that 1 adult who came to Christ today has only half their life to live for the Lord, 2.5. As you can see, D.L. Moody did not despise children, and he saw the eternal and lifelong value of winning children to Christ at early ages. In fact, his whole evangelistic ministry began with a Sunday school ministry to children before there ever was a Moody Church, worldwide evangelistic crusades, and a Moody Bible Institute. In the next few verses, there is a very familiar parable about the story of the shepherd who had 100 sheep, and specifically about the one sheep that got lost and went astray. We know the story because it's found in another gospel as well, in Luke chapter 15, that has the story of the three lost things, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost prodigal son. But here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have the story embedded in Matthew chapter 18, immediately after this whole discussion about children and little ones and how precious they are to God. Let's pick it back up in verse 10 and listen to the connection between little ones and the lost sheep parable told to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Verse 10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray." But then we come to the very next verse, Matthew 18, 14, and it is the real kicker. It pushes this whole discourse about children and little ones and their need for salvation over the goal line, and it begins with the phrase, "even so." That phrase, "even so," connects all that was said before about children, little ones, lost sheep, all together. Listen to Matthew 18, 14. It says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Well, some people might say, well, what does the word perish mean? The word perish means the same thing that the word perish means in John 3:16. Let's remember that and say it one more time. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not," what? "Perish, but have everlasting life." It is clear that the word perish here in John 3:16 is the opposite of having everlasting life. You know, we may not understand a lot of things in the Bible about children and theology, but here we have Jesus' own theology when it comes to the issue of children and the kingdom of God. Matthew 18 tells us that we must become like a child to even enter into the kingdom of God, humbling ourselves, indicating that entering into heaven is easier, more for a child than an adult, and it also tells us that the humbleness is a standard of measurement for greatness in the kingdom of God. Matthew 18 tells us that welcoming or receiving a child in Jesus' name is as welcoming Jesus. It tells us that little ones can believe in Jesus. Jesus said so himself, but little ones can also be offended and caused to stumble in their faith. It tells us there is woe to those who offend one of these little ones. Matthew 18 also tells us that little ones are not to be despised, and their angels seem to have a special access to the Father. Jesus tells us that a lost little one is like a lost sheep in the story of the shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one who went astray. And then to cap it all off, what did Jesus say about these little ones in Matthew 18, 14? "Even so, is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." After the Reverend Jesse Overholtzer finished his study of an overview of God's word concerning the issue of children and salvation, he could take it no longer. He had to get out and experiment and share the good news of the gospel to real, live children. He sought to talk with children and explain to them the gospel just as simply and as clearly as he knew how. Mr. O was amazed at how the children responded. In just a short order, 21 children had professed saving faith in Christ as their Savior, and some began leading their own parents to Christ, including two sisters who had such a dramatic life change that their mother came to Reverend Overholtzer to profess her faith in Christ simply because of the witness of a changed life in her two little girls. Jesse Overholtzer's heart was now set ablaze for child evangelism. At 60 years of age, Jesse Overholtzer, with the influence of Moody Bible Institute and some key businessmen from Chicago and other places throughout the country, officially began the ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship in 1937. The movement soon swept across the USA, into Canada, and then beyond the borders into South America, and then around the world. Jesse was convinced from God's word that God wanted children to know him from an early age, and that children have Jesus-shaped hearts, which was fertile soil for the gospel message to take root. For the next 15 years that Mr. O led the ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship until the age of 75, he would travel across the country, burdened in his heart to reach the children of the world that they would know Christ. Mr. O said, "In all these public addresses, the Lord limited me to one message, that of child evangelism and the responsibility of the Lord's people to evangelize the children in their homes, in their Sunday schools, in their cities, states, and in the whole nation." And of all the scriptures in the Bible, it is said that Overholtzer so often preached from Matthew 18 about reaching children for Christ that the words rubbed off the page in his Bible, and eventually the page itself wore out. But the message never did, because it is God's Word. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, because ultimately this radio program and our ministry of CEF today is still about one thing. Just like in the beginning with Mr. O and God's Word, it's all about what the Bible, what God's Word has to say about children and the need for the future generations to know Him.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
Tell me again.